Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 22nd, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from the ODC. Looking forward to talking with Ann in just a little bit. Right now, our good friend, Lance Plimmel. Lance, Lance, good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How you doing?
We had our vice chairman, Laura Valenstein, filling in more than capably for me for the last couple of months as they've had me out of town.
Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel joining us. And, of course, we want to say good day to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, Taylor and the gang over there. Appreciate you guys being here. Always appreciate the time from you all. Lance, how was the break? How was the vacation?
Well, it's good. You know, it was a little bit of a vacation, but more of a conference. So I think I missed the first show that we would normally do together. I was out in D.C. Working on some issues. And then last time, one of those other positions I fill is an officer in our insurance companies that insure all the counties, a lot of the municipalities, and we had a conference in Orlando. So I went from 90 degrees at 11 o'clock, you know, one afternoon to back here the next day and snow piled up as high as my head in my driveway.
Yeah.
And sometimes you wonder, you know, why do you come back? But then you look at, you know, what you really have in Wisconsin all the time, and you do.
I found this out myself when I lived out in California, that the weather didn't bring me back, the people did.
I
found that I actually did kind of miss a little bit of the weather, actually. But that's don't tell Mother Nature.
We have our days, right?
We have our days. Let's talk about those conferences. Why you were at those conferences and the things that you learned at them. Let's start with the first one.
Well, the first one, when we're out in D.C., that's a national legislative conference. Mm-hmm. We also do one in Wisconsin for our Wisconsin county members. But we're out there talking to those, you know, our federal elected officials. Talking about those programs and projects which are important to Wisconsin. And that's the other hat I wear as the chairman of the board of the Wisconsin Counties Association. We get to have those meetings. We have some access, you know, so we're meeting with, you know, Senator Baldwin herself and, mm-hmm. and some of the other people out there, the electeds, and talk about those things that are really important to Wisconsin. You know, there's even some local issues. Now, I'll give you an example. We had a large refugee population come into Monroe County. And no federal funds to support that really right away. And Monroe County's been left with a huge deficit because of that. And those are the kind of things we look at if we're talking on a statewide issue, a more global issue. The insurance conference, I also serve as an officer of the insurance companies, which insure almost all the counties, a lot of the school districts, local municipalities. And that's basically an education program where there's a certain amount of education you need to do every year. Or if you sit down in front of the audits with the Office of Commissioner Insurance, you're not very prepared. So we talk about the not only availability, but the way to provide insurance at the most cost-effective way to different municipalities, counties, school districts, and the others. So valuable conferences. But I did sneak in about 3 extra days when I was in Florida. To enjoy the weather. Those 4 days, 5 days of the conference, I actually never leave the hotel. I mean, you don't even want to
go outside.
Even get outside.
I'm glad to hear that. For one, we talk a lot about mental health nowadays, but not a lot of us are doing enough about it. So good on you for taking those couple of days there. It's good for you, and you're better, and you recharge, and you're ready to come at things. You come back with all that information with those conferences. Was there information that you took from there, like, oh, I can't wait to put this into effect, or, oh, I can't wait to share this with people? Was there anything like that that came out of these?
Sure. You know, the legislative ones, everybody's briefed on those ahead of time. You know, when you go to one of these insurance conferences, you know, you basically come back with, how do we do some, you know, pre-claim loss control? You know, how do we minimize exposure, you know, for everybody? And if we put those policies into place in the county, and some of those do actually deal directly with some of the mental health issues we do. You know, we run a facility up in Marshfield.
Right.
You know, and some of that is just transport and restraint and how you train employees, highway departments, you know, how you minimize accidents. All of those costs go to the right to the bottom line of county budgets. So, you know, if we can minimize those costs, it minimizes the impact to the taxpayer later when we look at tax rates. So they're very extremely beneficial. Mm-hmm. I think we probably had 8 of our board members at that insurance conference. And, you know, hopefully they take those practices back. We roll those into what we roll out in coverage. Give you a real good example right now, cybersecurity is huge. Mm. And the cost to provide that coverage. Those are you know, what they call nuclear type claims oftentimes, you know, in the multi-millions of dollars. And we need to know how to handle those. So a lot of benefit, not only to our county, but other municipalities as well.
When we're seeing that the cyber world, like everybody is kind of trying to figure that out right now as far as protection and as far as security. We have some of the biggest companies in the world that are getting hacked. If they can get hacked, anybody can, and it tells you that. So it tells you how important this is that we're doing this, so we're keeping up on the most recent information when it comes to that. I've mentioned this before. When I worked at I'm going to really date myself. I worked at Deja Vu Video. It was my first job out here. And I don't think that business has been around for 20 years, but I worked there for a while, and we get these magazines. And this is back with VHS tapes and VCRs and all that. And that one page was this VCR that you could buy that made it so people could not dub your tapes. Nobody could dub your cassette tapes and everything. It was great. It was all. On the very next page, a device to counter that device from the same company.
Well, you know, that's not only a concern for counties, municipalities, it's a concern for you at home. And, you know, there's certain things that you can do to help thwart those invasions, those viruses from being installed. But, you know, we've had counties where you have 400 or 500, for instance, laptops basically destroyed, need to be replaced. And then when you went through the supply chain issue, those weren't available. They can take down whole systems. And so I would recommend to anybody, you know, even individuals out there, if you haven't done it, take some cybersecurity training. You don't click on links.
Yeah.
If you're not expecting an email from somebody, don't open it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make a phone call, verify, do those things. And we train our employees constantly on this to try to avoid those. You know, I shouldn't even say it. It's, you know, knock on wood. We've been pretty lucky. We have a IT department that's real aware of those threats and tries to stay ahead of it.
One of the things that I would also encourage people to do is not beat themselves up. Everybody gets hacked. Everybody's opened a bad email, things like that. It happens. Take it, learn from it, and don't do it again, that kind of thing. Because one of the ways that these scammers and these people excel is in shame. And people being afraid, oh, I feel so stupid for doing that. I'm not going to tell anybody. That's what they're hoping on. They're banking on that. Don't let them win that way. You have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be ashamed about or anything. We've all done it. We've all, you know.
I think everybody's been there. You know, minimize exposure as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know, the IRS is not going to send you a demand letter by email. So don't click on that link.
And sharing this information, when our listeners are great about this, they let us know about these scams when they hear about them. We, you know, our Sheriff Becker lets us know, and we let the audience know. The mutual sharing of information is so important. And that part I'm curious about, too. We talk about this with a lot of different fields and a lot of positions, Lance. I don't think we get a chance to when it comes to a board members very often, but how important it is it for you and fellow board members to keep up on these conferences, to keep up on the latest information, especially, you know, given you, it's a little different because you have different responsibilities than, you know, your average maybe board, Wood County board member. But it does seem like even with, if you're just a regular member or what have you, got to keep up on it.
Absolutely. And I'm going to take this a little further. You know, I am extremely lucky that I get to serve in a county where we are as cooperative with other levels of government as we are. I often hear as I travel around the country, as a county board person, you know, I hope that I get to talk to my state or federal representative, maybe someday somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those conversations, I don't want to say daily, but a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that goes further when we talk about department heads. If we had a county board, or myself specifically, if I was the county board chairman in a county that had a lot of controversy, that didn't have department heads who also, almost every department head that we have in our county has served as the president of their affiliated organization, mm-hmm. you know, whether that be, you know, human services, veteran services, the highway department. You know, I take Rock Larson, just ended up, I think he just ended his term as the president of the veteran service officers. And I have Roland Hawk, our highway commissioner, who's the current president of the highway commission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single one of our department heads has taken a leadership role in their own state organizations. And they bring that information back, and it makes every single department better. And so, you know, I not only encourage, sometimes maybe push, those leaders within our county, including our supervisors, take advantage of every one of those opportunities that exist. You know, when I think I've been through the George Washington Leadership Academy out at Mount Vernon a few times, and a number of those types of opportunities. And every time we have a county board supervisor or local official who has that opportunity, I think the money spent, the time spent, is well worth it.
You know, again, Sheriff Becker's ears are ringing. But this is something that reminded me of a conversation with him, too. And it was more off air that we talked about it than on, about, you know, back when we were kids, police departments, they didn't really share information as much. It was all about them, their department making the big bust and that kind of thing. And nowadays we see it's like, well, let's just get this person. Like it doesn't matter what county gets a credit or anything like that. Let's just nail these bad guys. And they share information more.
A bunch of multi-jurisdictional task force that we do.
It's nice to hear that our board members and our other information we're doing that with as well.
Yeah, you know, and sheriffs are another great example. There's a lot of counties where there's an adversarial situation between a sheriff and a board. You know, we've been really lucky. Our sheriff, you know, in the past, but Sean Becker especially, share a lot of things. And oftentimes, as a constitutional officer, as a sheriff, he has a lot of latitude to do what he wants. But if there's a big decision, I'm going to say almost every time he calls me and he goes, what's your thought? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean either one of us is necessarily going to do exactly what the other one wants. But that conversation exists all the time and down through his entire command staff. If there's something going on or if there's a situation, I get briefed or vice versa because that communication is absolutely vital. And it should be everywhere. Frankly, it isn't. And that's where I am so lucky that we have the people that we work with.
I don't think that that's – and I know for a fact that that's not a coincidence. We have those things in place, and our area has been, you know, relatively all right in the last 5-6 years with all the different things that have been going on and everything. I'm not saying things are perfect or we couldn't use this or that or whatever, but compared to some areas, you know, I think that perspective goes a long way at this time, and we've got it a lot better than most.
Yeah, and every time you make a mistake, you know, that's a learning opportunity. Yeah. That's the way I look at it. You try to minimize those. Try to not make the same one twice. But at the end of the day, you know, you go back and you kind of do an autopsy of whatever that critical situation was, and you deal with it. You know, we had a situation just, you know, this couple of weeks ago. Again, it always happens to be when I'm somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was at this insurance conference, and all power out to our river block building. That's our health department, human services, parks department, land conservation, finance. And, you know, you think, all right, power's out, we'll go work somewhere else. But a lot of those systems that we use in those departments have enough security where you just can't go do that somewhere else. Yeah. And then the payroll function happens out of there, and people expect to get paid Friday. Well, if you don't have any computers up, you don't have any way to handle it, it becomes extremely difficult. Our facilities manager worked with several power companies. We were able to identify the problem and within a couple of days get this up and running. Our employees, though, you know, this I just find remarkable. You know, you think you're going to have a real lot of pushback and a lot of complaining. The first couple of days, I heard from some of them and said, hey, this is kind of like camping. You know, we're in the dark. You know, we've got batteries that are charged in some respect, and we can get through that. And that's that adaptivity, you know, the ability to, you know, move from situation to situation as it presents itself and still provide service. And I don't think that most of the people in the county had any idea that, again, round numbers, you know, 250 of our employees – had no power.
Yeah.
Couldn't get, you know, in and out of the building was difficult with electronic locks and those types of things. So, again, that's a reflection of the workforce and the people that we work with.
Absolutely. I think it's – I'm really glad you shared that, too. It does speak to the mentality and the way we handle things. I think there's a lot of that that Midwesterners we just have in us and begin with, and then we take that into our work ethic. It goes a long ways. When it comes, we're 3 months into the new year. We're you know, just getting started to get ready for a new season here and those things. When it comes to that, are there things that are on your guys's, you know, quote unquote docket that you're looking ahead at that I don't want to say we can preview, but looking ahead, like these are things we're going to be tackling coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the big thing right now, and we're waiting on the state budget to some extent to see where that comes out. You know, one of the things we don't want to do is allocate local funds to places where the state might backfill that. You know, one of the problems, and most people would never realize this or think about this, but I'm going to go back a couple of decades, and state government funded 70-80% of everything that local units of government did. In other words, the provision of services. Yeah. Most services happen at the local level. State decides what's going to be done. Local governments provide that. Over the last couple of decades, that funding has gone from that 70-80% level to 20%. Now, think about that. There's been, you know, just look at this year with inflation and what we deal with. So the increase that local units of government have had in what they can spend has basically been tied to net new construction. And we're in a part of the state where you don't see a crane on every horizon, you know, like you do in, let's say, Dane, Waukesha, maybe Milwaukee County a little bit. So, you know, when you think about your own bills, you think about your fuel bill, your heat bill, and some of those things. And we've had some local municipalities who, you know, their net new construction doesn't bring them an extra $100,000 in the entire year. They can burn that up in a fuel bill or an eighth of a mile of road reconstruction. So the big thing we're looking at right now is how does state government fund local government in a more effective way? And there's a couple of, I think, really good possibilities that mechanism is going to change. I think we have both sides on board on this. I think now we're just kind of deciding how much, what the number is going to be. That relates exactly to what we're doing, though. So, you know, we have a fair amount of money in ARPA funds. It's kind of funny. Somebody said, if you have some extra money, we could use it. And I'm thinking, well, right now I got about $15 million of requests for about $10 million of money.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go everywhere. Mm-hmm. But one of the things the board's doing is we look at what the state government and to some extent the federal government's going to fund. When that happens, we're going to start utilizing those ARPA funds we have in some of the areas we've identified. And you know, number one on that and critical to the area economic development has been child care. How do we provide a safe, more economic, you know, economical way for families to have that, which brings oftentimes that second income, you know, back into play, puts people to work because you don't have to drive very far anywhere in the country to see a help wanted sign everywhere. Yeah. And we have businesses that are suffering. I mean, there's some businesses in this community that have been established many years, and I've oftentimes gone to, you know, go to the door and they're closed and there's a sign on the door that says due to the lack of, you know, employees, we've had to shut down. So budget season is starting, or it will be shortly. So we're looking at, A, how do we utilize ARPA funds? Where do those go? And then, you know, obviously the big one, if you go downtown, is you got a jail that's being built.
Right.
And you can see that a lot of the steel's up. Some of the precast concrete is already in place. So it's a never-ending battle. We're in pretty good shape, though. When I look at, you know, you look at the referendums coming out in this April election, there's a lot of them out there to fund local government or to fund school districts, say that we're going to have to shut down if something doesn't happen. And a lot of that has been funding formulas.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm going to touch on is you got an election coming up. And, you know, you hear about election fraud. You hear about that everywhere. I think I want to assure everybody, at least in our county, you know, our county clerk does an outstanding job. Trent Miner is one of the best county clerks in the state. Another one of those on track to be, you know, president of his organization. And I can tell you, in Wood County, elections are secure. And I think most county clerks would tell you that. But, you know, while I say that, it's, you know, get out and vote. I don't care what side of the aisle on, you know, where you stand on the issues. If you don't vote, don't complain. And you can't believe the number of people who call me and say, I got a problem. I say, well, how did you, what was your feeling that? How did you vote? What was your input? I didn't have any.
Yeah.
Or I didn't vote. Get out there and do it.
You got to be informed. All the information is there for you nowadays. There are plenty of resources, very trusted, reputable resources that don't have anybody in their pocket that you can go to be able to find the information you need to make an informed decision to vote. Please do vote. I'm with you, Lance.
Yeah,
I don't care what side you go to or anything like that. That's all your business. And if I could just say personally, I can't stress this enough. I don't care who you vote for. I don't need to know. I don't need you to tell. I wish we could go back to the days where we didn't share that stuff. We didn't wear it on our like a sports team or something like that. I really, really miss those days. I'm not nostalgic about a lot of stuff. I'm not old school about a lot of things. That is one I miss that like crazy. I don't care who you vote for. I can't stress that enough. I care that you vote. I care about you as a human being. I do not care who you vote for. Not my business. Go ahead and just get out there and vote.
Well, you know, and that happens on the local level. You know, you especially see it in your town boards where you sometimes, you know, you have five-member boards. We certainly see it on the county board. You know, I have one vote like everybody else. Most issues are discussed at length prior to a resolution coming to the board floor. And so you see most of those passed unanimously because, you know, the sausage has been made, so to speak. I mean, that discussion has happened oftentimes for months before it gets there. But at the end of the day, you know, you win some and you lose some. And I think the only way you gain respect is when you go, hey, I disagree, but more of them agreed with the other side than did with me, and therefore that item either passed or failed. Get over it, and let's get on to the next one, and you know, and let's make our community better. So that's
What do they talk about when it comes to a deal? The perfect trade, the perfect deal is usually both parties leave sort of happy, but sort of upset, too. You're like, nobody got everything they wanted. That's politics, baby. That's democracy. That's how this works.
It happens all the time. I get these people come in and they say, I didn't get everything I wanted. Or that business person is demanding. And the walk-in, it might be an economic development issue. And I have a supervisor who may be upset about that. Their take on this. Now go, I expect them to do that. They represent their stockholder, their investors, and the other people. It's our job to be as informed on that issue,
yes,
and to be able to argue the other side. And then at the end of the day, it's exactly as you said, the best solution usually falls somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
It's our job as a county board supervisor to advocate on behalf of the taxpayer. It's their job to advocate, maybe if it's a business, on behalf of the business. At the end of the day, there needs to be an understanding that it has, from the business, that it has to be beneficial to the community. And from our standpoint, we realize that those are people who fund government through property taxes, our share of sales tax, and some of those others. Again, somewhere in the middle, typically.
I'm really glad to hear you bring up childcare as well. I know how big of an issue that is, and I know that that's been talked about a bit, but I feel like it's one of those ones that gets lost in the shuffle too often when it could be such a problem solver. I'm not saying we fix childcare, everything's going to be better, but it is a bit of an ABC kind of thing. Childcare comes into play. It's covered more. You're going to have more people in the workforce. You can have a lot less help wanted signs. These things do add up. It is a little bit of an ABC equals kind of thing. This isn't rocket science.
Yeah, and it isn't just more. It's good.
Yes.
Which makes a difference. And we identified this in the county probably 2 years ago. And now it's, as we kind of waited to see where dollars are going to flow from state and federal monies, because there's not a clawback provision with ARPA funds. Mm-hmm. Once we, for instance, if I spend money on broadband and then the governor allocates another $1 billion for broadband, I don't get to refund my money.
Yeah.
It's gone. Yeah. So to some extent, we've waited on some of those. But childcare, it's good childcare. It's affordable childcare. And I don't know that that means free childcare, but affordable and available, yeah, which is an impediment to business. So we identified that a couple of years ago. Now it's become at the forefront of every federal and state representative here out there talking. So I don't know if it hit us sooner, if it hit us harder.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. We're not looking to have government take on the role of childcare.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at, how can we provide maybe infrastructure or support to those people in the private sector who already provide it. And we've had those conversations here. We actually have a proposed plan out there on how we can do this, how we can utilize facilities that already exist. Because one of the big impediments to childcare is often, the cost of infrastructure, the building, the desk, the thing. And we've got, in some cases, and I don't want to misspeak, but, let me use an example. We might have additional space in schools that were once used for classrooms that would now be available for childcare.
Mm-hmm.
We have providers that say we can do that if we didn't have to take on that cost. Mm-hmm. And again, it all relates.
Yeah, it all adds up.
And it all adds up to the community.
And I am not the kind of person that believes in we should treat the any money like it's Brewster's millions, and we got to go through $1 million by midnight or something like that. I don't like treating it that way, but I also don't see the point of having money and just hanging on to it and not using it. The money's there to be used for a reason. We just got to be smart about it. Smart funding, funding smart is really what we're trying to do here with a lot of that.
Yeah, my county board guys will laugh when I say this again, but one of the leadership conferences I had in Washington, they actually asked, they said, how many people in this room, and they were all served in a similar position to what I do as the president of the county association. They said, how many of you have spent all your ARPA money? And a fair number of hands went up. And they said, how many have spent the vast majority of it? And then probably another third of the room went up. And they said, how many have spent very little? My hand went up. And they said, most places have a strategic vision. They implement a strategic plan. But he said, the one thing they're missing, and this is taught by an Admiral Cressy, who's a published author, extremely intelligent. He said, the one thing they failed to do is exercise strategic patience.
Mm.
And he goes, and that's the wait part. So in our county, we've identified those top things.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't necessarily utilized the money, but to your point, we can't let it sit on the shelf forever. The point is to use it. But if the state's going to allocate $350 million to child care, and I don't need to allocate all of the money that it was childcare, then I can use it in other areas. It might be broadband. It might be expansion of some of our park facilities. I know we need probably a $3 million upgrade to our boiler system in our courthouse. We're looking at that. And then, you know, some of the money's been expanded on things I'm hoping you can get out and use before we wrap up here today. You know, we've got a whole new mountain biking system that's been under construction and ready to go up at Powers Bluff. And I certainly ask people to go to our website and look at what that opportunity will provide to the county.
Yeah. Lance, great conversation as always. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the things we've talked about or that website you're referencing, can we give them that information?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you can go to our website. You can also, every one of our supervisors' names and numbers is in there. If you have a question directly related to your district or for me, my phone number's in there too. So, you know, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. The last thing I'll note is when I'm out in D.C. and these other places, you can send a lot of letters, million contacts, you can email, but that personal conversation with those representatives at every level resonates at a much higher level than all the pieces of paper you're going to send.
Always good talking to you, Lance. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, James.
Looking forward to talking again next month.
Appreciate it.
Big thank you to Taylor and all of our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Keep up the great work over there and follow that work by subscribing to their YouTube page. Just type into your YouTube search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page and keep up on the great work. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.